Well, good morning to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Dan McKibben, one of the fellows that preaches at the Pine Top Church of Christ, and we're glad that you've tuned in, and hope that as we study the Word of the Lord that we will be benefited, and as we open the Scriptures, and that's what this program's about, searching the Scriptures. We're trying to search the Scriptures and just find valuable, important lessons and exhortations for us to give consideration to, and so we hope that you'll follow along, listen carefully, open your Bible. I'm actually going to look at an Old Testament passage in our daily Bible reading. We've been reading some here in the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. This was a sad, sad history of Judah, the tribes, of course, the northern tribes, the kingdom of Israel. They'd been carried away into Syrian captivity, and you would think they would have learned from the example that befell them. And they were heading the same way because they're also going to be taken to captivity under the Babylonians. And that's what we want to look at. It was a tragic part of history, and it was self-imposed because they wouldn't listen. God would have been merciful. God would have forgave them if they would have just turned to Him. And that's the problem. People just don't listen to God. All right, well, we won't pick up in verse 11. It says, "And Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord his God." Stiff neck, that is, failing to humble oneself, just to be, you know, brace up and that, no, I'm not bowing down, I'm not humbling myself. And that's human beings, like a rebellious child. I mean, here you're trying to get a small child, and boy, they'll just stiffen up, and no, they're not. And, well, then they get punished, and, you know, to bring them to change of heart, change of mind. And that's what God did. I mean, he sends the prophets to warn them, and problems come and troubles come, and you think, well, maybe that would wake them up. But alas, it doesn't wake them up. And they just stub up, and human beings are bad about that. And it is a tremendous warning for all of us that we can stub up against God. But really, we're just going to, you know, people talk about breaking the law. People don't really break the law. The law stands. We break ourselves against the law. It's like going and punching a wall with your fist. You know, here's this big rock wall, and we're going to just punch it as hard as we can. Well, we may think we're going to break through the wall, but really the wall stands. We just break our hand up and hurt ourselves. And that's what people do about rebelling against God and God's will and, you know, doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We just harm ourselves. We just bring heartache and problems upon ourselves by rebelling against God. And you would think the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, they would have looked at what happened to the 10 northern tribes and, you know, they would have taken notice. No, we don't want to go down that path of rebelling against God. But they did, and they just wouldn't listen. All right, let's continue on. It says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of God which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And Jehovah their God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place." And so here God, he sends the prophets, he sends these messengers, and the reason is he has compassion and he doesn't want to bring wrath, but, you know, they just keep pushing it. They just keep pushing it and just persisting in the wrongdoing, in these abominations, in rejection. And the prophets come, and sometimes, you know, they would, well, just like Josiah, the father of Zedekiah. Well, Josiah, he tried to make reforms, and the people, you know, they kind of went along on the outside, but inwardly they never really had a change of heart. They just sort of went through the motions of it and his reforms. And they just continued on and on and on. And so in verse 16 it says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused the prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." No healing, as other translations. The marginal says healing. Till there was no remedy. Here they are. They have this horrible disease. And they could find a solution in God through repentance and seek the mercy of God. But they just keep pushing it and pushing it. And you know, that's the way human beings are. We can get to the point of no return. It's like you're floating down the river toward Niagara Falls. And as you get closer, the current becomes stronger and swifter. And you know, here you are in this canoe, and well, you might be able, if you decide to, you know, fight against the current and go back upstream. But then there comes a place of no return. And that's the way it is with human beings. And that's the way it is with the nation of the southern tribes, the nation of Judah. The Jews, they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't wise up. I mean, there was Jeremiah and all the other prophets telling them and exhorting them and admonishing them. And they had such twisted thinking. And so the Lord, trying to be merciful because of his compassion and because of the temple there and the people, but they wouldn't listen. And so what happens? They get to the point of this no return. And so God then allows Nebuchadnezzar. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had already taken the first group into captivity in 606. And then there was the second group in 597. Ezekiel was among them, Daniel and his three friends in the first group. And so here's the first group and then the second group. And you think, well, they would kind of wake up and smell the coffee and you know, be responsive and wake up and take notice that, hey, this is a big threat. And, you know, we need to make some changes here. We need to be trusting in God. But they didn't. They wouldn't put their confidence in the Lord. And so it says that they misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose up against his people till there was no remedy. And God's wrath would be exercised through the Babylonians. They were merciless, as we want to see. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, that is, Nebuchadnezzar and his powerful army, and slew their young men. I mean, slew their young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary. So here's young people. There are these young men, they're dying. And they had no compassion upon the young man or the maiden. Here's the young ladies, no compassion upon them. The old man or him that stooped for age, he gave them all into his hand. I mean, here are people that are aged. And, you know, we see in our society, we see some aged person and, you know, maybe they're on a walker or, you know, they're on a cane. And generally you'll see people, well, they'll, you know, they'll run and open the door. They'll kind of give a helping hand. But the Chaldeans, they show no compassion. They were very vicious. And God was using them. Now, God didn't make him do that. It's just that God, in his providence, he allowed this to come to pass, the Babylonians. And then he would bring judgment upon the Babylonians for their wickedness. It was the same with the Assyrians. I mean, that's an important concept. That is so important to understand about the world that we live in. And if we fail to understand this concept, we're always going to be kind of in a quagmire of how God works in the affairs of men. But notice over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 10. There in the book of Isaiah chapter 10, It says, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against a profane nation. Against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and take prey, and to tread them down like mire in the streets. Howbeit, he means not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. You see, the Assyrians was conquest. You know, conquer, 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 and take spoil. That was the Assyrians. And God allowed the Assyrians to come and take away the northern tribes into captivity. And they were very, very evil and wicked, but God permitted them in the big scheme of things. And, you know, the Assyrians went to, hey, you know, let's do Jehovah's will and carry off the northern tribes. No. Their mindset was conquest and destruction, cutting off nations. But God used that disposition to carry out his purposes. And then he used the Babylonians to punish the Assyrians. And so now the Babylonians, they're punishing the southern tribes by their disposition of conquest and conquering. And they're carrying, they're killing people and showing no compassion. All the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon, it says in 2 Chronicles 36. And they burnt the house of God, that is the temple, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burn all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof, goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, the third contingency of Jews that didn't die, taken off into captivity, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of the Persians. And this was to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That is the 70 years of captivity total. They had it coming because of wickedness. They had it coming because of rebellion. They had it coming because of their wrongdoing. The rejection of God's offers of mercy, of instruction from the prophets such as Jeremiah and the others. And what happened? They got to the point of no return till there was no remedy. And God allowed the Babylonians to come, and without mercy, they were slaying people, and then they were carrying people off, and they burned the temple and burned the king's house and burned all the palaces and the rich people's houses and carried away all the precious vessels from the temple, etc. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way God works in the affairs of men. He's trying to bring about change. It's not that God is unjust. It's not that God's overlooking sin. He just shows long-suffering, but then his long-suffering runs out. He's showing long-suffering in the world today. He's wanting people to come to repentance. He's wanting people to come to Jesus, to find forgiveness, to find salvation. But you know, just as the long-suffering of God ran out for the northern tribes when the Assyrians came, and as God's long-suffering ran out for the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, and the Babylonians came. Someday God's patience will run out with us. This world will come to an end. Jesus will return once again, and it will be the end of time, that final day. But God is pleading with us. God is begging us. God is wanting us to make this change of heart, this change of mind, to come to him and to come in repentance. And if we reject all these offers of mercy, his patience, his long-suffering, and we step into eternity unprepared, we can't blame God. We had it coming. It's what we wanted, that we didn't want God's mercy. We wanted to live in sin and wickedness and rebellion, and we'd simply destroy ourselves. And so we plead with people to turn to the Savior, turn and obeying the gospel, and to do that which is right. Well, we appreciate you listening. Hope you'll be able to tune in next week at the same time. Until that time, we bid you farewell.